This is Scott Burguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and we are honored to talk again to Diane Wilson, who's involved with the Troops Home Fast in Washington, D.C. Diane's the co-founder of Coat Pink and a longtime hunger striker for various causes, starting with hunger striking on a shrimp boat in Texas years ago. Hello, Diane.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, you guys are right in the middle of day 17, is that right?
Day 17.
Not that anybody's counting.
No. I guarantee you, anybody leaves a 6 on the sign, and we say, change it,
Yes, this is definitely something.
Yeah, we watch every day.
Yeah, that's right. And how are you feeling?
Actually, you feel fine. It's just I think the only thing you really notice is the energy. The energy is real critical.
Mm-hmm.
I know I talked with a fella today. Matter of fact, he just joined us from California, and his name is Andreas. And another thing is your memory slips. But anyway, he's another long-term faster, and he started this one, so he's on day 17. But he's did, I think 50 days was his longest in front of the Capitol. And he said at day 50, he felt real good. It's just, you know, he could barely lift his arm.
Right.
Weak, really weak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the one time I fasted long-term for 18 days years ago.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The energy level starts creeping in on the edges, especially at night. You start losing the energy.
Oh, you do. And every step, you measure every step, and everything you have to do, you just start trying to eliminate any excess.
Right. And so, wow, 17 days. This is amazing. What are you doing today? I hear voices in the background. Are you in some kind of a meeting or something?
We've got probably about 20 of us sitting here. We got up very early. We were chilling down here in front of Lafayette Park, in front of the White House, every day at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But today we changed it up because George Bush was speaking at the NAACP convention.
Right.
And so we wanted to be there to greet him. So we got there at 9 o'clock and was wandering around all sides of that convention center trying to find out the avenue that he was going to be coming through.
Uh-huh.
And so we were all there. And there was definitely Code Pink Hunger Fasters, mm-hmm, that greeted him. And they wouldn't let us into. I think a number of them tried to get inside. I think they had one of our big signs was, I have a dream, and it showed George Bush and behind bars. I think, believe it or not, a couple came by, and one of their little kids took the sign right inside the convention center.
Oh, really?
With that. Yeah, I have a dream, and George Bush behind bars, yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Well, I know it's not cool there.
No. Well, at least it's not like it was 100 degrees, and I did not know Washington was humid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Texas certainly is, but I sure thought it was going to be a lot drier, and it is humid as a dickens.
Yes. I wonder, what kind of signs are you seeing at this point of momentum building, positive stuff that's happening in relation to the fast? And
well, I tell you what, there's a lot more talk about bringing the troops home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because part of the women have been making the rounds in the halls of Congress. They've been in the Senate. They've been all over, and there is... believe it or not, kind of on the underbelly of it,
mm-hmm,
there's, you know, there has been actually some senators have said, we're going to bring the troops home. I mean, that's come up two or three times, and we're like, what? You know, and I don't know whether it's, you know, to coincide with the election, to
mm-hmm
make it look like they're bringing the troops home then, but nothing has really, you know, came out on the top, but there are those rumblings, and I guarantee you that we don't let the topic die. And you know, even with this new Israeli-Lebanese conflict, we keep it readily apparent. It's all connected.
Right, it is all connected, and you have to say that on the surface, anyway, you got to wonder about the Bush administration. They almost act as if they're planning to send troops into other countries.
Oh, I know it. I was like, I swear, I cannot believe it. I really do. I'm just, I have never been so amazed and bewildered in my whole life. It is what is coming out of this administration. I am just totally, it's beyond me, you know, and with all the money we're sending and all the troops and all of the havoc that's over there in Iraq, and then, you know, matter of fact, I was, when I first heard about the, when we first heard about the Israeli-Lebanese conflict, there was a very savvy media person there, and I said, what do you think is going on here? And he says, well, if they start bringing up Iran, he says, you know what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Another right. pretext to nuke Iran.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've certainly been bringing up Iran and Syria.
Yeah, they right. certainly have. So I just, but I know a couple of days ago there's been some major demonstration. It was, matter of fact, it was pretty spontaneous, and it almost filled up three quarters of Pennsylvania Avenue right mm-hmm. in front of the White House. So it's been interesting, a very interesting time down here.
Right, I'll bet. And it seems like it's in the national media, you know, our wonderful national corporate media, it seems to have pushed the Iraq war to the back page.
I know, which
is amazing. Because
yeah, and they're saying now that, you know, the number of civilians are 100 a day.
Right.
And now I think they're finally coming out with some true numbers on the amount of the Iraqi people that have died, and I think it's anywhere between 100,000 all the way up to 200,000. And I was recently on a Fox News channel. I don't know how in the heck I got on that one. But I don't know. I was like, wow, who gave me this phone? But anyway, I mean, he was like saying 45,000 have died, you know, from the Iraqi population. I'm right. like, where did you get your information?
Right. Well, that's it's unfortunately, it's only non-profit, non-governmental organizations that are doing the counting, and then they put out numbers, and that's what the government then decides
yeah.
to use. Because, yeah. There was something I was going to ask you about. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to edit this
right.
out. There I go.
it's catching. Well, I guarantee you, I have memory loss is all over the place. I had to do an interview a while ago, and mm-hmm. someone gave me a direction. I'm like, what? Blow it out. I couldn't remember the first direction.
I know it was a very pertinent question, though.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We're going to be here a long time.
Oh, apparently, yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that I, not that it's any big deal at this point, but I finally got off my behind, and I'm in the second day of my fast.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, bless your heart.
Well, hopefully there'll be more. Hopefully there'll be more people. And
yeah. And it is. I really, you know, I was talking, like I said, I was talking to Andrea, that other faster, and he's done a lot of them. Matter of fact, he just talked off this top of his head of all these legendary. Apparently, there's a whole pile of legendary fasters out mm-hmm. there, and he said the amazing thing about this one is that it's on a national, almost on an international scope.
Right.
Because usually it's, you know, very regional or single issue, and you know, only affects a certain thing. And this one is national.
Uh huh.
So I think that's a real important ingredient there.
Well, if we keep it up, the solid food industry lobby will be out pressuring
yeah.
Congress to outlaw fasting.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, it's a very trying time right now, obviously. It reminds me of, in some way, when I was a kid. Of course, I didn't understand what was going uh-huh. on then, but I very much remember the day of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And the feeling
yeah.
at school that I... And again, I didn't really understand what was happening, but it was very, very real.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, less people right now, unfortunately, are still paying attention, but I think that this is really a dangerous time we're in.
Oh, I think it's a critical phase we're in. I really, really do. And I think America could go one way or it could go another.
Right.
You know, it's like a path. You know, that there's mm-hmm. like a crossroads right in front of us, and it's which path are we going to take?
Right.
And I guarantee you, I think it's up to the American people to be the little button that shoves us in the right one.
Mm-hmm. And let's hope let's hope the Bush administration and the other, you know, others in the world that seem to be bent on solving all problems by preemption and so on, or stand down before things get even worse.
That's right.
So what are your plans for the rest of the day?
Well, I had to walk about 3 blocks and about tuckered me out to an interview. I'm like, Lori, I got to start eliminating that one. But usually we stay here, especially the anchor group. Mm-hmm. We stay here, and then we have a gathering, and today we got Russell Mockheimer. He's a corporate crime reporter, mm-hmm. and he's going to talk about Activism, Inc. I think it's doing grassroots activism, mm-hmm. and don't even have to mess with the national organization. It's going straight to the top.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's a real interesting idea. So yeah. Anyway, he's going to come and talk. Usually every day we have, you know, yesterday was Charlie Cray, former Greenpeace, and he did a topic on the war profiteers. And we had a lady the other day that talked about Islam. And so we get all different types. And we, like I said, it's very spontaneous. It's, mm-hmm. You know, whatever comes up is, we move on it.
Right. Well, I imagine you have people just showing up unannounced.
Oh, yeah. To join. Totally unannounced, mm-hmm. The only thing I have is a tad of paranoia, and I'm like thinking, are they Secret Service? I'm always totally paranoid about that.
Well, you know, what are they going to find out? They're going to come and they're going to report back, yeah, they're fasting. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Gee.
I know. I'm just like,
yeah.
I get, you know, maybe that comes with fasting. You get a little tad paranoid, but anyway, so we do. We have people show up from all over the place.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up, and I just want to ask you if you have anything you want to say to folks out there here on your 17th day of the fast, and what does Diane Wilson want to share with
listeners? Well, I just want people to know it's never too late to join the hunger strike. That we need people. The greater this momentum goes, the stronger of an impact that we can have to bring these troops home. And it's every person matters. It mm-hmm. all matters.
Right. It's a good time to stand up and be counted, isn't it?
That's right.
And if I know that they're encouraging people, you can fast a day a week. You can fast longer than that. You can, even if for some reason you can't fast, some people are suggesting turn your electricity off for
a
whole day.
That's right.
And certainly go to the website, troopshome.org, and see if there's some way you can plug in.
That's right. And there's always a list of things that you can do there.
Okay, well, we appreciate your good work, Diane, and the good work of Code Pink
welcome.
And all those that are involved. And we'll, as I've said we'll check back and keep up with this.
We'll be here. You just call us any old time.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Scott.
I was talking to Diane Wilson, co-founder of Code Pink, and she's in her 17th day of fast as part of the Troops Home Fast in Washington, D.C. There are people fasting there as well as all over this country and even around the world. You can get more information on Troops Home Fast at troopshomefast.org.